Pete, nice to see you again.
John, pleasure to see you.
Good one, good one. Should we do what we always do? Because we always, well, for the audience, hopefully we have one.
Yes.
They know that we normally do this over a beer, so you've got a fine cask bitter there.
Yes.
I'm going to the dentist, so I'm coping with Diet Coke.
Yes.
And we're at the General Elliot in Croft.
Yes.
Not a pub we've been to before. But as Koeman apparently famously said when he was getting an interview for the Everton job, first impressions are positive. Yeah.
Oh, yes.
It all went downhill from then. So we'll do our classic unscripted thing, apart from this bit at the beginning, like saying where we are. But also, it's a long time since we did this, right?
A long time,
I think,
John.
We've just managed to scrape into doing it before the year was out, i.e. it pretty soon, it would, wouldn't it? Be more than a year, would it?
It would be. When I, being Pete the pedant, you know, I sometimes like to check
Stato.
His facts. Stato, let's call it. That sounds better, doesn't it? 10th of August, it was. 2020.
So last year.
So last year.
The day before your birthday.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was. And it was a little bit of a sombre mood because we'd had Project Restart.
That's right,
which,
yeah.
And you and I knew that as match-going fans when we were growing up, there's only ever match-going fans, but now there's a worldwide audience with social media, and that's not a bad thing. But for match-going fans, we're in the lowest point we've been for a long time.
You.
I was.
You're almost a positive. You were Mr. Not Very Happy.
I'm always positive, always cup half full, but I was missing my football badly. And when I say my football is going to matches. Like you
and me both, because I was agreeing. I mean, it's cliched, isn't it? But for, you know, football without fans, well, it's not the football I want, to put it that way.
No, no. And they even put a banner up at Old Trafford saying, without fans, it's nothing.
That's
it's
right.
A quote by Matt Busby,
yeah.
Who knew it would come back to haunt us 70 years later. But in a way, that's the way I learned to cope with it, that it was nothing in a way. These were games just being played out. They might have played it on CGI. I know it kept a lot of people happy, and I wish them well. But for me, although it'll count in the record books, it was not a reality. Anyway, we're in the midst of that last year, and I felt it a bit heavy-hearted, and I wondered if it brought anybody that listened down psychologically. But bright now, because hopefully we're coming out of the pandemic, fingers crossed. Hopefully we're getting back to football matches with crowds, and I'm feeling very, very positive about the
and did you go to any of the games in that season?
I managed to get to the last home game they allowed us in, which was Fulham.
This is what I did with Everton. We had a handful of fans in for the Wolves game, so I was at that one.
We had 10,000 in. Did you have 10,000?
No, I can't remember the number. Was it 5?
Right, but you managed to get in. Yeah, that's good. We had 10,000. But the real...
We had a couple of games, but I wasn't eligible for the first one because you had to live within the Liverpool City region.
Oh, right.
For the first match.
We only had one, and that was the very last home league game.
Yeah.
But what came out of a clear blue sky was we got to the Europa League final, got 2,000 tickets. I applied just as in, like, just throw a dart at the board, Pete, thinking there was must be at least 3,000 or 4,000 ahead of me that have been to the Euros for the last 12 years. And blow me, I got a ticket.
Wow.
They must have been put off by all the testing and the procedures. Got a ticket, had to go. For the 2 weeks before, in the lead up from knowing I got a ticket to going, must have spent so much time on the government website, almost watching it minute by minute to see what we needed to do, what was changing.
Sure.
Long story short, managed to get to Gdansk to watch Manchester United, sadly, lose to Villarreal after 22 penalties. But I maintained my record, John, of having got to every European final that Manchester United have played from 1968 to 2020.
So 68 was your first one?
68 was my first one. I think we've played, I should know this, I think it's eight now. So we've won the, I've seen them win the European Cup three times in 68, 99 and 08.
I know, so 50 plus years every...
50, yeah.
Yeah.
I've seen all eight, and that's just a stato, really. My main thing was I wanted to go and watch United, and a place I've not been to.
I mean, that's a great 100% record, that, isn't it?
For last season?
No, going to all the European finals.
Yes, yeah.
I mean, I suspect, though, there's far more Evertonians who've been to all our European finals than Man United fans have been to all of theirs.
That's quite, yeah. I did study statistics at college once, but yeah, I'm sure you're right on that one. I just trying to work out if you had more than one. You had the Rapid Vienna one, which I remember in 85.
That's the only one.
Yeah, okay, all right. Well, so that's a bit like...
So that's a record.
That's a bit like Sam Allardyce being the best England manager.
Indeed, yes. Or Nugent scoring one goal in one game or whatever it was, you know, from 2 inches.
Of course.
So that's like a historical... I mean, you didn't turn up for that game, did you, really?
No, we didn't turn up from the start. I felt once we got back in it with Cavani's goal, certainly on the terraces, it felt like we were going to kick on.
Yeah.
That it brought the crowd alive, and it brought the players alive. But the trouble with Ollie is if he's still driving the car, he starts it sometimes okay, and then he keeps stalling it. So I think we've got a lot of the parts in place, but he just needs to stop stalling the bloody car.
So to a degree then, we put that almost... for real fans, no season behind us. It'll still appear in the record books, won't it, that Man United lost to Villarreal in your Europa League final, Chelsea beat your best mates in the Champions League final,
yes.
Leicester won the Cup, which is another romantic thing.
Yes.
You know, you look at clubs like Everton and we think we're a big club, and we are, but Leicester have won both domestic trophies, you know.
Yeah.
Quite recently, and we haven't won anything since 95. Oh, we beat Man United in the final, didn't we?
Yes.
And then, of course,
I don't think you mentioned the year clearly enough, did you?
But then City did a domestic double.
Of sorts,
but the League Cup, yeah.
Okay.
Or whatever it's called these days.
Yes.
So that's it. Season gone.
Yeah, sure.
But the forthcoming season starts with a damn good friendly at Old Trafford.
Yes.
My last away game was away to Chelsea when we got thrashed in whenever it was, March 2020, yeah. So we got thrashed and it was an appalling performance. And then we're going to come to your gaff, aren't we?
You are coming to our gaff at something like 11:45 in the morning.
12:45, isn't it?
Was it 12:45?
Yeah.
Oh, right. Well,
and you've only given us, I think, 1,500 or 1,600 tickets, so I think you might find a lot of blues in amongst you and your mates.
Yeah. Well, I think we can live with that. A, it's a friendly, and B, Everton in a friendly, we can live with. I've only just heard that we've got a sellout for this Wednesday. I've got a ticket for it, but I didn't think it'd sell out. But we're playing Brentford at home in a friendly. Very rare now United play friendlies at home, usually it's on another continent.
Brentford of the Premier League, yeah.
Of the Premier League. yeah. So Brentford at home and then Everton home. And that'll do us. So, I'm surprised they've not given you more tickets.
How many are you having for Wednesday's game?
I don't know.
Wednesday, as in tomorrow, I guess.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
We're recording this on Tuesday, people.
We are. And I am half awake. A friendly with Brentford, so we get accustomed to them. And then Everton, in a friendly.
And how many... You say sold out, how many going to be there?
I don't know, I couldn't see that. It was just something that came up on the website saying we've sold out our tickets now, but we've still got some left for Everton.
Okay.
So I don't know if they're limiting it. I think United said that they were going to do it incrementally, step it up to the 70,000.
Yeah.
So maybe they're putting 30,000 in, I don't know.
So I got my tickets yesterday,
right,
which is good. And then at some stage I'll get an email from United telling me what I have to do.
Yeah.
You know, from protocol's point of view, if anything. I don't know whether they're going to ask whether you've been jabbed or
any of that stuff.
I wouldn't have thought so either.
No, not yet. Not till Boris decides.
But clearly they've made it very obvious that, you know, you better bring ID with you. That's got your name on it and that name's on the ticket.
Yes. I mean, they were getting keen on that anyway.
Yeah. I mean, Everton have been printing names on tickets for
a bit. We've moved to digital now, so you can have it on your phone.
Our season tickets done that way. And indeed, when I bought these tickets, I could have had them done digitally.
Right, okay, yeah. The Europa League final was in Gdansk, so I had to take a battery the size of a small substation with me just in case my phone ran out. Imagine getting to the turnstile there for European final. I'm sorry, sir.
It's like the things for all the electric cars, all apprehension on range, isn't it?
You know,
you go to see your Auntie Mabel in Lincolnshire and can you get there, you know?
Yeah,
now
yeah.
it's going to be, can you get in the match because you've left your phone in the pub or the battery's flat?
Who'd have thought? Crazy.
So what should we talk about then? Should we call that we've done last season?
Yeah, we've covered a bit of
and now we can see line of sight that fans are going to be in the ground. Yeah.
Which is great, John. And you touched on that Leicester-Chelsea Cup final. And I think that was the day when I kind of reconnected with my football. I never lost my love for football during that pandemic. And we should say, of course, there were... in the pandemic, there was much worse things going on that are much bigger than football.
But you were going down to Old Trafford, weren't you, just standing outside when the games were on?
Standing outside makes me sound very sad.
Like, that's why I said it that way.
A little puppet that's been tied up outside Asda while it's ordering us in. I found early doors, that was the best thing to cope with, go down there. Then I realised, okay, well, you can't just stand there, Pete, it's pretty boring. So I got a little routine together where I did my steps on that day when I was doing my steps. I did them around Old Trafford.
Oh, wow.
And okay. Then I'd go and get a coffee at Costa. I had a little routine going. But no, I stood through the wind, the rain, the snow, and the heat of last year. I didn't go to everyone. It must have been about three quarters of them. There was somewhere over Christmas. I thought, no, family first, rather than just go and stand outside Old Trafford. But I did that. But when I reconnected properly was when I sat down and watched the FA Cup final, which I couldn't the year before. Chelsea and Arsenal, was it? I felt for those two sets of fans. Yeah. I mean, so watch it on the box. But I watched it, and obviously the commentators were going on about it all through the match, but just to have real fans in there singing current songs, yeah, you know, was fantastic. And it really did. I think shortly after that, I got to that Fulham match, United Fulham match, the last home game. Then I got to the Gdansk game. And while that was always going on, John, I wasn't out of love with football. I couldn't watch it. I likened it to having a very close friend or family member or relative who was in a coma. And I could go down and be at the bedside, but I couldn't talk to him. But I knew they'd come out of it, and knew one day we'd chat again. But it just comforted me to be by them. And that's not being too dramatic.
No, it's a good analogy. Yeah.
It was something. It just got me through it. So reconnected then, and really reconnected now. Can't wait to get back.
Thank you. Thank you. Good man. Cheers. Thanks a lot. That looks good.
That's great, lovely.
Yes, we have. I think so. Good one. Sure.
Thanks very much. Thank you.
Shall we pause this tape while we have our lunch?
Yes. I would.
Well, we're back again, Pete. I enjoyed my fish and chips.
I could tell that, John. I didn't get offered any. And I enjoyed my comforting cottage pie, as it was called. So back to the main course, really, which is Everton and Man United.
Yeah, I mean, we'll talk, as we always do on these, because normally we do these like an end of season podcast, don't we, and then a start of season one.
Yes.
So we'll do our damnedest to squeeze that into an hour. So okay. We've got another 45 minutes, so let's make it count. So we need to finish off what happened, notwithstanding we didn't think it was real because there weren't fans there.
Yeah, yeah.
But the games were played, trophies were won.
Yes.
And subjective opinion was created.
Yes.
So from afar, looking at Everton, and we'll talk about the fact that Ancelotti's gone, I suppose, later.
Yeah.
What did it look like from where you were as a neutral?
Everton last season.
And I'll happily talk about United.
When
you finished. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it certainly felt for me, from Everton's point of view, a disappointing end to the season. You fell away. It seemed that you got quite a few key injuries. It wasn't a massive squad anyway, but you got some key injuries, and you were limping along towards the end. So I think you finished 10th, was it, in the Premier League, which that must be disappointing for Evertonians, I would say. If you look on the bright side, one more win would have got you 8th place, I think. Mm. You'd have got above Tottenham. But as it was, you finished in 10th, and even promoted Leeds finished above you.
Thanks for that. You have to put the word promoted in front of that.
Well, it's Leeds for a start. But it's a bit like when we were going through our 26 years in the desert without winning the English League title. And then Notts Forest came up, as you know, won one league title, then two European Cups. And we're going, Christ almighty, Notts Forest are winning the league.
The Leicester City of their day.
Exactly, they were. And your team, like you say, a big club, is spending a lot of money and not quite getting near to it. So it seems like you ran out of steam. And I checked up before I came out, because there's usually always an obvious reason. There's always loads of reasons, isn't there, why clubs do well or don't do well. But there's usually something you can put, if you look at it forensically. You scored 47 goals in your 38 league matches.
Not enough.
That's a poor return. By far, it's a poor return. Just over one goal a game. It's about 15 to 20 goals less than most of the teams above you.
Yeah, carry on talking. I'm just moving so I don't get wet. It started raining now. So
47 goals. So you need to score more goals. It seems like you're not getting enough goals from midfield. Sigurdsson was your main goal scorer. If you count him as midfield, with 8 goals, then 3... from Davis, was it? But other than that, your midfielders didn't seem to score.
I mean, and in
so
goal
it's not just
scoring,
your strikers.
Yeah, in goal scoring terms, DCL pushed on.
But
like he did the season before, he tailed off, you know, with a third of the season to go and didn't really score.
He really did have a good
season.
And
Richarlison dropped off a lot.
So I would say disappointing. You ran into both the Manchester clubs at the quarter-final stage of the two domestic trophies, who were in good form at that time. So you're probably a bit unlucky there, really. But no, I'd say all round, if I was an Evertonian, disappointing. I'd expect more of Everton. As an Everton fan and as a Man United fan.
Yeah, I mean,
fan,
the thing I forgot to do was that the previous season we had a little bit of banter, don't we, about where do we think we're going to finish next season?
Yeah.
You know, we'd had Ancelotti and then he was going to go through a transfer window, a pre-season, and then a new season, of course, probably when we were doing all that waffling, you know, in 2019 or whatever it was.
Yeah.
Oh, no, early part of 20.
Whenever we wouldn't have forecast. 2019 was the last time we forecast where Everton and United.
Yeah.
And Everton was certainly well in the top 10.
Yeah, and you were very optimistic and stuff about us, but hey ho, it hasn't happened, has it? And
no.
And we find ourselves almost in a reset position again because we changed the manager.
And very much a forced reset.
Yeah.
Because Ancelotti, it would have been interesting to see what Ancelotti would have done. I'm sure he would have added to the squad. But I must admit that for me that came out of a clear blue sky. I guess it did for a lot of Evertonians. Of his resignation, his move to Real Madrid. Now you can't blame him. He gets the offer to go to Real Madrid, so no matter what club that is, there's always going to be a lure. So that was a bit of a surprise. But then of course the even bigger one was Rafa Benitez. Mm. So as a Manc, having watched. Whoever's Liverpool's manager and City's, you tend to watch them a bit more closely than some of the others because they just come onto your radar more because they're affecting your club. But so I saw Rafa do his stuff at Anfield from early 2004, was it? Didn't win him the league, but got him a European Cup. But what was the reaction? What has the reaction been? I know there was a bit of malarkey to start with banners being put on the wrong door. We know where you live, but. Overall, Everton fans, what was their initial reaction and yours, and what is it now a month down the line?
I think if I do my initial reaction, which would be, I think, quite common, and I think it's a bit of a difficult one because if you have as I think I did, an objective view, you can still be accused that, no, it's because he used to be their manager.
Oh, yeah. It's hard to...
So my view was that, yeah, he was across the park, you know, their biggest night ever probably in Istanbul, and the manager, and you know, they win the European Cup and the fans love him to death, and the big flags go up on the cop and people have huge tattoos across their shoulders and all those sorts of things. But since then he's just been, I don't know, a higher quality Sam Allardyce in some respects, you know.
Well, a higher quality Sam Allardyce, let me get my head around that.
Interim, so parachuted in at Chelsea, who they didn't like him. You know, style of football, quite defensive, that sort of thing, but he won a trophy.
Yeah.
And then, of course, after what went on at Newcastle, where I think he surprised everyone by sticking with them in the Championship, didn't he?
Yeah.
And he brought them back up.
Yeah.
You're a bit of a stato. If you look at the stats, then they're probably made to look better than they are because they had the year in the Championship when I think they finished top, didn't they?
Yeah, I think they won it. They won it quite comfortably.
Yeah, so his win ratios look good because of that season.
Yes.
And he was always at loggerheads with the owner, but then the whole club is sort of appears to be at loggerheads with the owner.
Yep.
And then he takes big bags of money out there in China. So to me, his currency of being a top Premier League manager was in question.
Yes.
You know, and we have Ancelotti. It was a surprise to the fans in general. It was a surprise to the board, which means it was a surprise to Denise and Bill and Farhad. And they clearly didn't have much of a contingency. Yeah.
No. But when you don't see something coming, you...
Well, you should always have succession planning.
That's true. Difficult.
It is difficult in football, but you must have a view.
Yeah. He'd only managed for 3 months, less, probably 3 months. With crowds there.
Oh, absolutely.
So you'd think, this coming season now, let's see how it goes properly.
So anyway, the point being now, Ancelotti, he's got it in his contract or whatever it is rumoured to be, if these clubs come for me, I can go. So he did.
Right, okay.
So he did. And then the board find themselves on the heels,
yep.
And they have to go and find somebody else.
Yep.
Every man and his dog gets into Farhad Moshiri's ear.
Right.
And Rafa ends up coming out top of the list. Yeah.
Right, okay,
So your question is, how do the fans react? Well, it was drawn out, wasn't it? So it was the best kept secret for two or three weeks.
About a month.
Yeah, 2 or 3 weeks of everyone knowing, quote, he's got the job, but it's not been announced yet.
Oh, right, okay.
And all those sort of things.
Right.
So it polarises people, you know. Some people say, if I can truly set aside where he used to manage, what do I think about this potential and then actual appointment?
Yeah.
And then there's the ones who say, I don't give a damn. Whether he's good, bad or indifferent. Surely there's plenty of managers around we could have had without taking someone from across the park.
Yep.
What's happened since he's been appointed? He's said the right things.
Yep.
I have to say, talking here and now, when Allardyce first came through the door, he said the right things as well.
Yeah.
So perhaps, I'll ask you in a moment what you think, but to set it aside or to summarise it briefly, I asked some Reds what they thought.
Oh, right, yeah, okay.
You know, face to face, not on WhatsApp or Twitter or anything like that.
No, I understand.
Because we do know Reds. I'm sure you know some light blues and stuff like that.
Yeah, some.
And one summarised it really well for me. He said, "Well, what'll happen? I think, John. He's gutted that he's come to us. So the Reds are not happy that he's
tainted now.
Yeah, probably. Well, there's a huge flag on the cop. That'll have to go, won't it?
but you can't do that with the tattoos.
The guys with tattoos are stuck with them. Yeah. And he said it'll be one or two things, really. And some of it depends on how the club react to his demands. Yeah.
Right.
But it'll either be a train crash.
Okay.
Because he will make demands, or perhaps the club made promises already.
Right.
And he won't be shy telling the world if they're not delivering upon them.
Yeah, yeah.
But if he gets past that bit and the fans give him a chance,
yes,
they think he'd be great for us.
Right.
And I think he's got a pragmatic approach.
Yeah.
He's I think, clearly he's very experienced.
Yeah.
But I also think he's technically quite cute as well.
Right.
He will play to the strengths of the squad.
Yeah.
And if that means we have boring football while he sorts the squad out, I suppose.
Okay.
But he's quickly got a few, and clearly it's with Marcel Brands, the director of football. He's got a few, I'm going to be rude, a couple of players who fill gaps.
Right.
So Townsend, you know, a winger.
Yeah, yeah.
Gray, a guy who lost his way a little bit after sparkling quite well at Leicester for a bit.
Yeah.
And that sort of thing. We need to see if we can hold on to James, but we still need a good right back, a modern right back.
Right.
Which means more of an attacker than a defender, probably.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know, he's going through pre-season. So for me, he's our manager now.
Right.
And I back. You know, I support Everton Football Club. I don't support a manager. I don't support a player.
Yeah.
I don't support an owner. Yeah. I don't support a chief exec. I support the football club.
Of course.
And so I want the football club to be as successful as it possibly can.
Yeah.
And if he does the right things and success comes, fantastic. If he does the right things and success doesn't come, then you have to think about it.
Yeah.
But if he starts underperforming or kicking up a fuss or being disruptive and so on, then you would like to think that you'd move him on. But we can't keep moving managers on every 12 to 18 months.
Well, God, no. There used to be a joke when United went through a load of managers after Busby that they were putting revolving doors on the manager's door rather than the proper one because there's so many ins and outs. I mean, your record, lately somebody posted it on Twitter, didn't they? Because you had David Moyes as manager for about 55 years.
Yeah, forever.
And then
where did he go?
West Ham, I think. Koeman, 1 year... about one of the third years. Allardyce doesn't even get in years. It's 167 days.
Yeah.
Marco Silva, nearly 2 years. Ancelotti, a year and 62 days, but in a pandemic. So yes, you're up against it a little bit. It gives any incoming manager more of a sway when they sit down and talk about the contract, the money, but also who they might need.
Because he's a forthright man, though. I mean, you've just gone through the managers, and we don't want to forensically examine the characters, but Koeman came for money, Silva couldn't turn it down, a much bigger job, and whether those guys could cope, and it maybe even Ancelotti himself, could he cope with the way this club is run and the way the fan base have expectation, which may be above our station?
Well, after a while, I always think, if you get two, maybe three managers in and they're not successful, you could say, he was that and he was that and he was that. After a while, you have to look at yourself, don't
Absolutely
you?
Absolutely.
You
know,
that's
right,
that's
yeah.
the whole thing. And you could apply that to Ed Woodward recently, etc.
Yeah, indeed.
So, Rafa Benitez, you're right what you say. His CV looks superb. Real Madrid, Chelsea, Inter Milan, Valencia, Newcastle was a bit down the line. But he did only spend a short time, months at Inter Milan. Chelsea was an interim appointment anyway, and he did win them something, yeah. But short term. And then Real Madrid got rid after months. I hadn't realised that till I read it somewhere. So his CV looks very good, but it's got quite a few holes in it. His record was very good at Anfield. He can manage top players, I think. His formation, which he seems to stick to, is quite defensive.
Yeah.
He likes a lot of defensive-minded players in his 11. If any manager starts winning, you don't give a damn about their personal life or who they used to support or what they say or what car they drive or what woman they're going out with. If they're making your team win, you'd forgive them almost anything. So, and I'm also a believer as well, if somebody has played for your club or managed your club and been a hero for that club, that stays. You can't stay in it. You can't rub it out. So even Paul Ince, for example, when he went to Liverpool, he's still done great for United's resurrection in the early Fergie years. And we should always respect that. Tevez, when he went to City, Tevez made a great contribution to United. So if they were once heroes, they'll always be heroes. Mm. Unless they do something themselves to badmouth the club. So
he's
the only fellow, I believe, I just saw this somewhere, John, and yes, Stato, Benitez joins William Edward Barclay as the only man to cross the City divide and manage both clubs.
Yeah, and that guy was a long time ago.
He was the one that was managing the split when Liverpool broke away.
So 1892.
Who knows how it's going? His stock has gone down, I think, generally slowly, a bit like Mourinho's has. But he manages Rafa Benitez very well, like Jose Mourinho manages Jose Mourinho. Mourinho must be a very rich guy, but his record over the last 8 years is awful. Okay, so you're right, most Evertonians will support the club,
but what you get though is football, as we know, the man who held the flag up, you know, it's all about timing.
Yes.
And I think the type of person he is, he loves the city, he's never moved from the world, all that sort of stuff.
Yep.
And he's a pragmatist.
Yeah.
And according to ex-players, he's not shy at saying, you're in, you're out, you're in, you're in, you're in, you're out, you're out, sort of thing.
Yeah, he'll tell them
straight. Then he'll just turn to the director of football and say, see these five, I don't want them.
Okay.
They're not going to play, you do what you need to do.
And
I think a bit of a reality check might apply there. And you've alluded to it, that the owner, Farhad, which actually I tend to give him some relief in the context of, ultimately, he's not on the board, the owner. He doesn't make decisions that are formal. That's done by the board.
Right.
Albeit they may be taking some guidance from the largest shareholder therefore owner. But I think for all those people, well, there's the chief exec, the chairman, Bill Kenwright, and Farhad as the three most senior, they need this management appointment to be successful.
Yeah, of course they do.
Because as you say,
they do.
If it's not, they're the problem, aren't they?
Well, exactly. Exactly. Is there a clear out required? Because you do seem to be, I wouldn't say in continuous clear out mode, but you've kissing a few frogs that don't turn into princes with your signings. But then again, you kind of did have the spine of a team last year. I must say, all credit to Pickford, because although England were disappointed in the end, perhaps about 3 or 4 years ago now, I said he's always an error waiting to happen, especially in an England shirt, especially with his kicking out. But other than one little slip up, which isn't bad in about 6 or 7 games, he did very well.
And so he finished the season very well for Everton as
well. Yeah, and it'll mature. He's still very young for a goalkeeper. Your back four more or less picks itself with Coleman, Digne, Keane and Mina. And midfield, kind of picks itself with Gilfie and Allen and Decore and Gomez and Davis.
Might not pick itself going forward then.
No, well, we'll have to just touch on that. Then you had your two strikers, but your two main strikers. Your problems.
Richarlison and DCL.
Yeah, you didn't seem to have other strikers really pushing them.
No.
And you're not getting the goals from midfield.
Well, we got Josh King and Ancelotti didn't give him a chance. So.
No. No, okay. So, all right.
On loan, that was.
He's going to get a few guys in. I think the Andros signing is quite good, actually.
Yes, indeed.
His work rate is tremendous. He's very experienced. His attitude is great. Superb shot.
Yeah.
He can score goals and make goals.
He played 45 minutes in the Florida Cup.
Yeah.
And he was so unlucky not to score a worldie, where he turned inside,
right,
cracked a bending ball against the bar.
Right, okay.
And that would have been a cracking start to his career.
Yeah, so he's shown already. Damara Gray was promised. If I was Benitez now, I'd be saying, OK, lad, you really started off a great career. It's dipped a little for whatever reason.
And he's only 25, isn't he?
Yeah, this is your chance now. And then I know there's a few others that are being talked about. Interestingly enough, Martial crept in there, Anthony Martial.
Yeah, well, I think he's been mentioned more than once, hasn't he, over the years.
Yeah.
You're trying to unload him, aren't you?
No, I think United will get rid of him now. Mm. I think Martial has been
an average young player.
He's what, sorry?
Still young.
Oh, he's a young lad. But he plays in fits and starts.
Yeah.
And he scores in fits and starts. You'll remember he was getting the winner in the semi-final. And I'd never heard, coming out of Wembley, singing that song. Sorry to remind you of it. but we thought that was the making of him then. In his opening game, he scored a belter, a solo goal against Liverpool. A superb goal from a tight angle.
There.
The talent is there. But it's not matured into consistent scoring. So I think they would let Martial go. I'd say give him a go. So if you're saying you're casting off somebody from your own club and then you're giving it to another club, then I think he'd do great for you.
Yeah.
Sounds a bit patronising, but no, I think he does need to reset.
Right, he needs to move. You mean.
He needs to move.
Like,
yeah.
Pogba needs to move.
Pogba does need to move. Pogba has been the biggest enigma I've known in my time as a United supporter. I've never known anybody come for so much. Not so much money, relatively.
So it's not raining now, it's a storm now, isn't it?
this is like when the opposite of when the Ark were waiting for the rain to stop.
Yeah.
This has been about 3 months now without any rain.
Yeah.
But we'll carry on regardless.
Yeah. Pogba.
So, okay. Right, Pogba is Marmite in Man United's camp.
Yeah.
I try and part the Twitterata because the Twitter, as David Cameron, I think, God bless him, once said, isn't the real world, and
no,
it's not.
It's an echo chamber. Yeah.
It's an echo chamber, but I want anybody that's signed for Man United, whether it's for £1 or £100 million, to play great for Man United.
Yeah.
Who wouldn't? You'd want the same for Everton. Pogba has been a show pony, and I make no apologies for saying that. We know he can play very well because he does for France. He's done it occasionally for United, but given that he's been there 5 years now, his very good games have been only in handfuls. He's just not performed. But some supporters really love him. Not so many match-going supporters. I've heard, and nearly on that New Year's Day at Goodison Park, I remember going for a wee at half-time and there being a right to-do in the gents where one older guy like me was saying, Roy Keane and Robson are turning the bloody grave now watching that tosser out there. And this young lad saying, oh, he's great, Pogba. Why are you lot always picking on him, blah, blah, blah. Of course, Pogba went out and had a great second half.
Well, he would, wouldn't he?
Somebody up. But he does split United supporters. I think he's had enough time now, Pogba. Do we want to pause this, John, and
yeah,
move inside? We're battling now against...
Ladies and gentlemen,
the elephants.
We've blown a gale here, so we'll just press pause and come back to you in a few moments. Take care. Right then, Pete, are you ready?
Yes.
Because we've reconvened indoors, so there may be some background music, which seems to be 80s and 90s pop, I think, but hey-ho. We were talking about Pogba.
Yeah. Well, I think just to sum it up, for me, I'm ready to see him go. He just generally has been too unsettling. I think there's always so much talk about his contract. When it started to get that way with Beckham, Fergie saw him off. And I think if Fergie had been manager now, he'd have seen Pogba off.
But he let Pogba go.
He did let Pogba...
He spent £100 million to bring him back and he's just not done it.
That's right, but that was... Yeah, Fergie didn't...
No, he didn't bring him back.
Yeah.
But I mean, maybe he was right all along.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, Fergie didn't get many things really wrong. There was a few signings that in the end didn't work out, but it never really did any great harm. No, his judgment about his character, I think, was spot on. That Paul Pogba was more for Paul Pogba than the team. And I don't like to make statements like that, because obviously I don't know the guy, but I go by what I see on the pitch.
What do you think that is culturally, because, or almost, behaviourally within the player, because I'm going to be cheeky now and change it from Pogba to someone else who may be similar in expectations, if you will. Because if you look at Pogba playing for France, that's the Pogba you want playing for Man United.
Yes.
And if you look at Richarlison playing for Brazil, that's the Richarlison you want playing for Everton.
Yes.
And we don't always see the true Richarlison, who always looks like a miserable so-and-so, you know. And I just do wonder whether there's something environmentally going on in and around United. Does he, what is it? Does he want to be the big man, or what is it? Because it's got to be psychological, hasn't it? Because the talent is, as ever in these matches, there.
And that's why I say it is an enigma, because it's baffling. It's absolutely baffling. And if United supporters that like Pogba say he's good for France because he's got good players around him, so you might say Richarlison's good for Brazil because he's got Brazil around
indeed,
him. But,
yeah.
But that doesn't mean that they can't come back. And he's got a languid style. I don't mean he's lazy, but he's got a languid lope, Pogba, which sometimes can mean Berbatov was like that, whereas Keane would go, he'd run around.
Invisible.
Townsend would run around, wouldn't he? He'll run around for you. Very visible, very getting stuck in. Pogba's not like that. Got some beautiful touches. All I say now, 5 years, he's had the chance. What I think holds a mirror up to Paul Pogba as a sign at Manchester United in the last 5 or 6 years is the sign of Bruno Fernandes, because he did come in, he had an impact.
Hit the street,
right away. He was the they say a rising tide lifts all boats, and Bruno did that.
And carried the team to a lot.
Well, if the pandemic didn't happen, see, I can only judge it up to the pandemic, really, because so much got skewiffed by matches without crowds. Yeah. Liverpool wouldn't have lost 6 games at home. Everton's away form was far better than the home form, but so was everybody's, because no crowd. So it's a bit difficult, but they were still running about playing football even without crowds. But Bruno Fernandes had lifted it in that time we bought him from early February. In fact, one of the last, it wasn't the last game I went to. I went to Derby in the Cup on March the 5th, 2020. But I'd gone to the game at Everton when Fernandes scored. Do you remember when we gave you a bit of a bit of a start?
Goalkeeper error.
Gosh, dear me. Anyway, so Fernandes came in and has done it. Pogba has exactly never done that. Anyway, he's had 5 years. I think move him on. I think he seems to have got Varane in now. Varane.
That's supposed to be happening, isn't it?
Happening. Sancho has definitely happened. I don't think we're that far off anyway. Second place is pretty good.
What is it you've done? Ollie, was it lost 6th or something his first season, was it? Or was it lower than that? Was it not? It wasn't great.
And no, then,
but you've improved under him because you went second last season.
It has improved.
So going back to that thing about, you know, what is it, going to get an extension to his contract, you think that's a good idea?
Oh, for sure. And I said as much. I put out on Twitter, delighted, absolutely delighted. I think Ole Gunnar Solskjaer will be the man to do it. He's really only had since very late December 18 to March 20 to manage under normal conditions.
That's right.
But
got to win something this season, haven't you?
Yes, if he'd have won in Gdansk, that would have given him the foothold at Fergie in 1990 with that FA Cup victory over Crystal Palace. That secures your time as a manager. Mm. So, yeah, he has got to win something this season. But I think Manchester United can go on and win either the league or the Champions League. I don't say that as if we're going to walk that, because the competition is very high domestically and, of course, always is in Europe. But I think United have got the capabilities. I think we've built Ole Gunnar Solskjaer has got into the club players who want to play for the club and get it. He's got rid of the players who don't. Lukaku, Alexis, Sanchez, and I think Pogba will be the third one of those. Those just reflect a time when under Van Gaal and Mourinho we were throwing money at players who seemed to be good, but I don't think had the Manchester United attitude.
Yeah, if there's a criticism about a series of Everton managers, and Everton fans would still say, well, you know, this manager still have to deal with the legacy of those who made mistakes before and so on. And I think Steve Walsh still gets the blame. And you think, you're a good few years away since that.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And it's hard to see, and many Everton fans would criticise, not just obviously the playing side, but the non-playing side as well.
Yeah.
It's hard to spot what the plan is. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, and we've got a renowned director of football in Marcel Brands.
Yes.
But it's almost as if he doesn't have the final say.
Right.
And if you allow your owner to fundamentally handpick the managers himself.
Yeah.
Say I'm Farhad Moshiri and I appoint my mate, Pete Molyneux, as Everton's manager.
Yeah.
And then the chief exec says to Pete, excuse me, shouldn't you actually come into training?
Yeah.
And you think, go away, my mate's Farhad Moshiri.
Yeah.
Now, I don't think those conversations happen, but there's got to be something that makes it difficult for the leadership on a day-to-day basis when the manager is handpicked by the owner.
Well, on a day-to-day basis, the leadership shouldn't get involved at all.
That's right.
They should be way in the background.
That's right.
I'm sure on one of these podcasts we've had the debate about director of football.
I know.
For me, through 2,000 years of sociology study, not that I've studied for 2,000 years, I don't think it ever
worked. Maybe that's what your daughters will do.
Yeah, maybe. It will. You can't. It can't work. Your manager and your assistant manager, chief coach, right-hand man, decide who should come in and who shouldn't come into your side, who should leave the side. It shouldn't... A director... And those two people have got to be as close. You couldn't get a piece of paper between them. So it could only work, a director of football, if you've got two like-minded people. But why call him a director of football?
Well, to my
mind... Ferguson and Quarros.
Yeah.
But it should be something you're building intrinsically, not necessarily throughout the club, but into your first team of the players you want.
To my mind, I mean, we have talked about that on this podcast before, and
yeah.
I think if we're not careful, we go down the same rabbit
hole.
Yes,
we shouldn't do it.
If you, coming from a background of, you know, a manager who was around for a long time and ran the place.
Yes.
David Moyes ran Everton for a long time.
Yeah.
And both clubs have that challenge of what happens when someone has been around a long time and everyone knows it's my way or the highway.
Yeah.
You start bringing others in. Now, in Ollie, I guess you hope, maybe even expect, that revolving door you joked about is stopped.
Yeah.
And now it's got a bolt on it and you need the key.
Yeah.
And no one's going to get out unless the manager is happy.
Yes.
And that's the stability thing.
Yeah.
If you're going to have... an approach that says actually the manager is just a component, is just a piece of the jigsaw. Someone has to have ownership of the jigsaw, and that's where the director of football thing comes in. So bear with me a sec, because I did promise we're not going down that rabbit
hole. No, you're right.
So our owner.
But I am sitting amongst rabbits now.
Yeah. Our owner is the guy who believes in that model of a director of football, and yet he's the one who interferes. Because you're neither fish nor fowl then, are you?
No, exactly.
You've got a man who has apparently got oversight and therefore should be accountable. But he has no control over a key component.
No.
So the planning for the future thing, this is going to be the style of play, from the kids to the first, all that sort of stuff, can't happen if every, as you said, because I don't know what the times are, because I've just suffered while we've been changing managers.
Yeah.
But simplistically, what you read out before was, every 18 months,
yeah.
for the last 5 years, we've got a new manager.
Exactly. So the main man, the main guy, shouldn't be the owner. Of course, he's the main
Absolutely
guy.
Absolutely not the owner.
In terms of Everton Football Club playing football on the field, it should be the manager, the most important guy. And the book should stop with him, should always stop with
I
him.
I totally agree.
And if it was a corner shop, it'd be the same. And if it was Harrods,
I think the relationship in that context needs to be, and you must have it, even if you don't have a director of football, right? Because let's say Ollie says, I'd like to buy whoever, just pick somebody, you know, Sancho, you know, and the guy who's going to go and do the buying, because he doesn't negotiate the contract, does he?
No.
So someone's going to go and do the buying, right? Now, I don't believe that Manchester United just have the manager just picks up the phone and says to Ed Woodward, go get me this player.
No, that would have been 1955.
Exactly right. So there's got to be affordability. You've got financial fair play to comply with, all those sorts of things. Someone's got to negotiate with agents. It's about wages. It's all those things. Yeah.
But those are carriage 2, 3, 4, and 5, 6 you've mentioned. The main engine is that player good enough for Manchester United?
Totally agree.
And that's got to be the manager decides that.
Well,
but he can send scouts out to do that. You'd get in the game, I'm sure. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, I'll say, I'm going to send Mike Phelan to watch that, or I'm going to send, I don't know, Duncan Ferguson to watch. Someone who he rates in the game. I'm looking at a centre forward.
Yeah.
Can you give me a report? We'll give you a few thousand quid.
Yes, but sure, it's a process.
Scouts. And scouting.
Whatever, yeah. Well, yeah, clearly scouts who have to go and see them live and all those sorts of things, right? But the point I was trying to make was forget the job titles. There's a role which says, the playing side of this club have decided we need a player of this type, and we've isolated it to be that guy.
Who's saying that?
The manager.
The manager, okay.
Right, so the manager says...
I mean, a real good right fullback.
Yeah, use Everton as an example, because you picked the position we definitely need, and we need for a while. So Benitez looks at Everton from afar. When he goes through these 3 or 4 weeks of meetings and meetings and meetings, they must be saying, what's your vision for the club? What about the team? Where do you think we're lacking? Who do you think we should bring in? He's saying, I'm not coming to manage your club if you're not going to fix that position, if you're not going to do this, and so on and so forth. So so he walks through the door on day one, and he turns around and says, right, that right back I need,
it's
Pete Molyneux, who currently plays for Borussia Dortmund.
Yeah.
Go get him.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, who he says that to
at
Man United... Would that be Ed Woodward?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Everton, that would be Marcel Brands.
Okay.
Right? So let's say Ed Woodward, who's chief exec, plays the role of the director of football in the sense that he's now got to do all the logistics that's necessary, to actually get that player. However, I'm going to say, because they're not the same, because Woodward only does the finance side, doesn't he?
Yeah.
So when you...
Tie up the deal, guy.
Yeah, so when you're doing, at your club, you're doing that, we know we need a right back.
Yep.
The guys who chat about it are the manager and his assistants and the other coaches, for example.
Yeah.
All of whom owe their job to the manager. So you've got to have a really good relationship for Phelan. Moyes' first and last big mistake was getting rid of Phelan, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So Ollie says to Mike, I think we want a fullback, and the one we want is that Pete Molyneux bloke.
Yeah.
And Phelan goes, you're having a laugh, aren't you? It's useless. Yeah.
Right.
Or, yeah, boss, let's get him. Yeah, or whatever. But they conclude it, they name the guy they want, and they say to the money man, go get him.
Yeah, but don't pay more than 50 million for him or whatever.
Well, see, that's the point, I think, from a playing side. The manager says what he wants, and someone else has to worry about, can you get them for the right price and all those sorts of things. And that's perhaps where the bridge is between having a manager who has total control and having a manager who works alongside, maybe even for, a director of football. Because there's pros and cons to both, isn't there?
There is. Your description there of a director of football isn't what I see that as a guy who ties up the deal, or a gal that ties up the deal.
Oh, that's not what I think a director of football.
Yeah, director of football, the strategy of, is surely seeing that club from the top to the bottom, the oldest team, the first team down to the under-12s or whatever. I don't get that. That can be a finance person.
That's where we diverge.
No, if you appointed a good man, I would imagine part of appointing Rafa Benitez is a big name, and Everton wanted a big name. They're trying to punch above the weight so they can become that boxer. And I get that. That's what you've got to do. You should do. But getting someone in like Rafa Benitez or Ancelotti, he'll know who could be that right back, or he'll know a guy who knows who could be that right back because of their background in football and wealth of knowledge. You don't really need you shouldn't need a director of football. You need a right hand man to be sat on the bench with you, and you need to be as close as anything, you and Fergie and Phelan or whoever. But you don't need this third party between your owner or the board and the manager.
Well,
because
we'll
I think it dilutes who is the manager.
No, I don't think it does.
Okay, all right.
The reason I don't think it does is because...
I was going to say, just tell me one place then, acid test, because it's all theoretical. It's John versus Peter. We're sat now amongst hundreds of rabbits. Tell me one place where it's worked. Tell me the model. Say, that's how it works. at one
Real
club.
Madrid.
Does it work? Yeah. They've won nothing
the past,
for,
well,
not,
it has
nothing
in the
for
past.
10 years.
Continental clubs often operate the model.
They do they? Operate that model, yeah.
Where the manager gets told, there's the worst case
right,
is Real Madrid,
right,
the Galactica.
In the UK, yeah. All right, because they may call a direct, something might be lost in the translation, yeah. I don't mean literally, but they might have a director who does tie up the deal.
No, that's why I said before, we shouldn't get hung up with the role, the name of the title. Yeah.
So I call it an assistant manager.
Well, there you go. But the point is, the assistant manager works for the manager.
Yeah.
And the manager is accountable for delivering results
yes.
this season.
Yes.
Because he might not be here next season, right? So inevitably, if you give the manager that much control, he has a very short, you know, planning horizon.
But it stands or falls
Hang
by
a
his
sec.
Own.
Yeah. Well, it's a short planning horizon. You can't develop for the future and win games at the same time necessarily if you're going to get the sack if you finish below 10th or whatever. Now, the first manager you got,
okay.
Yeah, the first yes. manager you got after yeah. Ferguson tended to be short-termism sort of thing. Yeah. But if I can't remember the chronology, but it was Moyes, wasn't it?
It was Moyes.
Do the other way around, sorry.
On a six-year contract.
I was going to reference Moyes first, and then the short-termism
right.
was after him, sorry.
Okay.
But Moyes went in there thinking, I've got a six-year contract. I've inherited, you know, something that magician called Ferguson was getting results out of, but it needs some work.
I think the word you're looking for was champions.
Well, yeah, but that was the magic trick, wasn't it?
It yeah? should have been, yeah.
But what
yeah.
he got, getting that squad to be the champions was all,
yeah. Oh, yeah,
was
yeah.
down to having
yeah.
a manager of his stature.
Yeah, exactly.
So
yeah.
Moyes thinks, I've got, talk about Taylor, I've got to build a new dynasty, whatever, but I've got 6 years to do this so I can execute a plan. And when you and I have chatted about this, but he forgot, yeah, you can go up, you've got all the control you need to execute the plan, but we better be in the Champions League next season, and we better win something, and so on.
But that's life, John.
So it's short-term versus medium and long-term objectives. They can be in conflict when a guy's trying to keep his job.
Oh, they can be. No, I understand that, but 'twas ever thus.
Yeah.
You can't give a manager a 6-year contract right, and say, right, look, you've got 6 years.
Do what
it's
you
Man
like.
United having do what you can 6 years is there saying we're showing faith in you or
yeah.
whatever. Let's say 3 years, let's be more really we're showing faith in you. But we all know that results count. But you in any organisation you have short term, medium and long term goals.
Of course.
So yeah, of course winning something or getting good results, a good finish, whatever club you are. That buys you time, but you do the trouble if you just plan it short term like that, you build on sand
yeah.
and not building anything to last. So they're good managers. So it took Klopp 5 years, we hate to mention it, don't we, but we've got to be fair, did it 4 or 5 years to get a trophy. Well, see, it's quite some time.
I lose track because of the pandemic, but everything he's won there had been in the last 18 months.
Yeah, exactly.
So for 2.5, 3 years.
And it was getting laughed at. I'm sure it was 3 or 4 years. But anyway, we can check that out. So you actually say you didn't the manager. We expect we are Everton and we want to finish as high as we can in the league and whatever. They might even put a position on it. You know, I'm sure they do for bonuses. In the top 10, you get this.
Yeah,
top
yeah,
eight,
of course,
blah, blah,
sure
blah.
They do, yeah.
But we want to finish as high as we can. And you want that manager to be a guy who thinks, I want my club, whoever I manage, to be as high as they can in the league. So these that come in and say, they've got my CV, never been relegated, that is the most negative, attractive comment on a CV I ever saw. The paper started printing this, didn't they, a few years ago.
So
it's also never been relegated. Quite a few of them have been relegated now, funny enough. But it's got to be some positivity. And I don't think the director of football appointment makes a difference to that one iota. It's whether your owner stroke board appoint the right man for the job at the right time.
I think
the right
this
time,
is where,
in the circumstances.
Yeah.
And Rafa Benitez could be, who knows
yeah.
what it would be.
I think that's how we can back out of this cul-de-sac.
Yes,
right?
okay.
But because
right,
the point
yeah,
is,
fair
no,
point,
you,
got,
no
yeah.
I think you are right. The point is that, and I say this in another podcast, it's not what you do, it's the way that you do it.
Yeah.
I think if we sat down with a piece of paper and talked about what needed to be done,
yes,
we'd end up with the same. And it would just
yeah.
be, well, I think our director of football do that. And you'd say, well, our assistant manager does that. And so on. Yeah. And so there's nothing new in what needs to be done, which is give the manager the best assets he can.
Okay.
And then task him with extracting the full, you know, abilities and, you know, and potential and all that rubbish out of those. Because often when managers are sacked, I always have a simple metric, you know, and I can do this with Ancelotti. Did Ancelotti get the most out of our squad last season? No.
No.
In my view.
No.
Did Silva the year before, and so on. Did Ollie get the most out of your squad last season? Apart from missing the icing on the cake of winning Europa League, he did.
Yeah,
he did.
Yeah.
So he's earned the right to be given more or better players because he's extracted most of what he can from the ones he's got.
Yeah.
Therefore, unless they're young players who are just going to naturally get better through experience, then he needs better players.
Okay.
And it's interesting, if you're doing that and you fail to extract the full capability of a particular player, and he's the only one you're not managing to do it with, it must be the player's fault. And that's where we close the loop back to Pogba, aren't we?
Okay.
You say, I've done everything I can, mate, to make you perform consistently for us like we think you can.
Yeah.
And you're not doing it. Therefore, I, as the manager, have concluded it's not my fault, it's your fault. So you're going.
Exactly. And that's what Fergie would have done.
Yeah.
And
I think that's what Busby would have done. I think that's what Benitez would do.
Yeah, I think he would. Sure,
where
I'm
a
sure,
Silva
sure
might have
would.
Thought, oh my God, I'm talking to this player who's bigger than me as a player than
it's
I am as
funny
a manager.
Though, Everton's problems over the last 5-6 years haven't been making certain wrong decisions, footballing wise. It's because of those guys coming through the door and hardly staying for whatever reason.
Yes.
That if I was looking for Enzlik, Everton, I'd be standing back saying, what's causing all this? Yeah. Individual things would have caused each of them. Some would be on behind there.
It's funny, isn't it?
You need that bit of luck, but you've, in a way, you've not put a long-term appointment in. But
we did, because we had Martinez, so the new owner gets rid, and then we go to all those other managers. Then we get Ancelotti, who's the one he thinks is going to stick around, because he can't imagine sacking him. And then he goes of his choice.
Well, that's because
we got rid of all the others. Yeah. He's messed it up, hasn't he, in that sense?
Yeah, and of course, if Benitez does start doing very well by Everton,
the phone will ring.
By Christmas, exactly. Oh, I've forgotten about Rafa Benitez. Yeah. I thought he'd lost it.
And Moyes has reinvented himself again at West Ham.
So it is very difficult. Managership is something where there's not an ideal recipe. There's lots of theory. There's thousands of books on management of all sorts. But it isn't a recipe. A manager needs to find the recipe and then stick to it. And Shankly did, and Paisley did, Busby did, probably Harry Kattrick did. I'm thinking one of your more long-term managers.
Kattrick.
Probably Moyes been your longest serving manager. Yeah. Since
forever ago, yeah, absolutely.
That's straight, that's incredible.
But if you look at Ollie, right, I look at Ollie from the outside in.
Yes, okay, yeah.
And you know, you listen to the media, I think we were talking about it on the radio, you know, and, you know, Ollie, you know, it's this, oh, go back to Mashiri again, he wants these Hollywood big name managers, you know. And I'm sure there's lots of Manchester United fans who think, well, we're Man United, we should have the biggest, best managers in the world. But then I just, as a sort of impartial guy from the outside looking in, think, would Ollie be the first on my list to be Everton's manager? Never mind Man United.
Right. Oh yeah, that's an interesting one.
And you think probably not. You know.
Right.
You know. Mould. Really? Was he at Swansea for 10 minutes or whatever?
Cardiff, Welsh club.
Yeah. So he was at Cardiff for 10 minutes. So there's nothing there.
But
when he came through the door, he did some sensible things. Mike, come back, please. Feeling.
What he did.
Yeah. You know? But he also often says, I know what this club should do.
Yes.
I know what it's about.
Yes.
So it's almost like he's been given Alex's template, and he said, Alex.
Yes.
And he said, I'm going to follow this.
Players
who don't fit, they can go no matter how big they are. Yeah.
But it's not an exclusive tablet of stone. Anybody could have come off and taken that stone off Moses.
Yeah, but isn't that the way? And you worked in a similar environment to me in professional life, and particularly when you were, you know, in the utility company, there'd be big accounting and consulting firms coming in, advising the board what to do.
Yeah.
And you know, the old story of what does a consultant do? Ask you for your watch and then tells you what time it is.
Yeah, go and ask Pete.
Sometimes the easiest and most obvious things to do are the things people don't do. You actually be able to lift yourself above it.
Yeah.
And if Benitez can do that and just start doing the basics, hard work keeps you in the team, results keep us all in bonuses, you know, and let's do the simple things consistently well. So we're going to defend, we're not going to lose to set piece goals, we're not going to do this, we're not going to do that. And we build a foundation and then we can push on. You said that in a way from a sporting perspective.
Okay. You said out there when we were sat out before the rain storm, struck, yeah, that he plays defensive football and you'll go along with that. You see, I could never imagine me hearing myself say that about United.
Yeah.
I'll say, look, we'll do this for a while and see how it goes.
I don't mean forever.
You know, yeah. But I'd put a question mark about Benitez's style of football against Everton's style of football, but then Everton are a little bit of an enigma, I suppose. If I stand right back from it, you nickname the dog, what are your nicknames? You've got a lot of nicknames.
School of Science is the best one, isn't it?
School of Science, and also the Dogs of War.
Yeah, well, that was Royal, yeah.
So, I've always seen Everton as a side that likes to try and play football, good football, attacking football, attractive football, and the teams in the 60s and 80s that I grew up with did. To do now, I think there's still a side, yeah, that go forward with
we
pace
had a great
and determination
under Martinez, yeah, his first,
yeah,
season,
yeah, yeah, you did, yeah, which was Moyes' first season at Old Trafford, wasn't, yeah, it? So okay, that could be a clash, but I think actually,
but you said it yourself, you've gone for the right guy
at the moment,
yeah,
you've gone for the right guy at the moment, and Van Gaal was the right one at the moment after Moyes. Mourinho was then the right one to give a try because after United supporters were saying they should have got Mourinho after Fergie, and the other said never over my dead body.
Yeah, yeah.
After we failed with Moyes and Van Gaal, he said, "All right, let's give this Mourinho a try and see what he can do." And it failed badly, worse than any of us could have thought. Yeah. So where does it leave us? We don't know anymore.
So we've talked about the manager. Yeah, I'm just noticing.
He's got to decide whose players are. Forget the setup.
Yeah. And if he wants certain types of players, he should tell the director of football, that's what I want. And they need to have a good relationship. But ultimately, he'll have his own view, not of just the positions he needs, but the people he wants in those positions.
Because
at the end of the day, the easiest thing, and this is why if I was a manager, I wouldn't have a problem with having the director of football, because I'd just say, listen, you can buy that player if you want, but I'm not going to pick him.
Right,
because I don't rate that player.
But you'd have a crack there right away. You've got.
And that's what I mean. You'd have an instant conflict, and therefore they have to have a relationship.
Who's Rafa's right hand man? Has he kept Ferguson? Duncan.
Oh, Duncan's always. It's like a permanent fixture.
But he's not brought anybody else.
No, he's got his own assistant. I can't remember his name now. But he's a fitness type guy, isn't he? I can't remember.
Okay, all right, fine.
So anyway, from afar, Everton, the manager situation.
Yeah.
Anything else that you think, what's going on? You know?
Well, the only thing that hampered you, one, you lost a very good manager at the start of June, or start of July.
Lost late,
it was late. Then quickly had to get Rafa in. I know it probably seemed to drag on your side of the
July's
East
Lines, not finished yet.
Yeah, exactly. So he comes in late. And now, of course, he's been hit by this scandal off the field, which it'd be wrong to talk about because it's speculation. But it seems that, Everton said this is a player.
We have suspended a player.
A high-profile player.
Yeah.
That's the last thing a new manager wants, of course. It's the last thing a club wants.
Yeah.
And if it is the player that a lot of people are mentioning, then that has kind of stymied you. But again, a manager has to deal whatever happens.
Players can get injured, anything can happen.
And if you think who would have foreseen that a player would be sent off and then jump in the crowd and do a karate kick, you know, just when you're top of the league, I think you're sailing to your fifth title in 4 years or whatever. So he has to deal with that. You're due a bit of a break, I think, as a club. You're due a wee bit of a
break. Well, we're 3 years away from a brand spanking new stadium on the banks of the Royal Blue Mersey.
Yeah. Well, given that we can't talk about the other business, let's talk, because in Manchester, it's not been a bad week in Manchester, really, because we think we've signed two decent players, and I don't really gloat over this, but Liverpool has lost its heritage, which I think
is a status,
which is unfair actually, because I have, in a non-footballing sense, been to Liverpool to see the city and its great heritage as a maritime port, and it's wonderful. But what I was surprised was the UNESCO called out two things. I can't remember what the first one was, but the second one was Everton's new ground. The new John, all through all these podcasts over the last 5 years, have been the evangelists of saying what a great vision this is as you sail into the harbour there of the port of Liverpool. Was that unfair? comment of what the, by to them. Bring Everton in, for UNESCO to bring Everton's new disrepute.
Yeah, UNESCO's man on the ground is English Heritage, or Historic England. And they've been in dialogue with Everton Football Club for the last, whatever it's been now, 2 or 3 years around all the consultation processes and all those sorts
right.
of things. And I think the way I wrote this on the day that it was announced, because it was known earlier in the year, they've right. done an interim report, they're going to yes. take it, and then they yes, have the I meeting, heard that, yeah. and then they ratify it. Everton have bent over backwards. That right. is a derelict part of the city. Yeah. Not just a derelict dock, it's a derelict part of the city.
It couldn't look worse than it already did.
No one's seeing said dock. There's no access to it. There's a tower that's listed, and that was about to fall down, and we're right. going to rebuild it, and all those right. sorts of things. So to protect the heritage assets, Everton are spending, I think they publicly say, over £50 million. I know privately right. that the cost of doing what needs to be done in a manner that protects the heritage could be as high as £100 million.
Right, okay? right.
So Historic England, my understanding is, were very happy
yeah.
with all the great work the football club has done.
Yeah.
And the way I think I tweeted about it was they ticked off all the wish list of things they wanted.
Right.
And the only thing on the list, which has got an X against it, is don't fill in the dock.
Okay.
So how do you build a stadium on a dock without having water
yeah,
in it?
Yeah.
So even then, Everton have long since said, in a crazy world where a few hundred years down the line, somebody dismantles Everton's stadium, you yeah. could empty the dock, because it's not going to be made permanent in that right. context, and you could put this old, warehousey docky thing back the way it was.
Right.
Which is a crazy commitment to make.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
it costs you nearly £100 million.
Yeah, and you're not going to do it. No one's going
to
do it.
Yeah, but if you want to get copy in the newspapers and you want to get the BBC to pontificate, then yeah. what you do is you attach it to a Premier League football club. So the use of the stadium and as being almost the camel's back got broken by the straw that is our stadium
right.
is, to my mind, it's about publicity and attracting attention. But the citizens of Liverpool don't give a damn.
No, I got that feeling.
It's and like, I don't think there's tourists around the world who are not going to come.
Oh no,
because
still
of
come.
That either.
No, exactly. No, so, not quite right.
And it will be yeah. an enhancement to what's there, and yeah. it will bring in tourism, and it will actually be good for the city,
right,
and
okay.
so on and so forth. That's not to say that what the city has done and developers have yeah. done over the last numbers of years, which has fundamentally been in breach of the agreement they reached with UNESCO when we got status in the first place,
right.
about building heights and all those sorts
right.
of things, that were not squeaky clean.
No,
but
no.
I think it's two parties who haven't been able to come to a sensible conversation.
Okay, it's only the third one, isn't it, to lose?
Yeah, but there's okay. many places which are under threat, but some of them have been under threat to be removed from the list for like 25,
right.
30 years or something.
Yeah. Right, and of course you've got to modernise. I would have thought Liverpool, mainly the city of Liverpool, a pure city, has kept its heritage, and it's adding to its culture with Everton's ground.
I mean, the three graces.
I'm sorry.
The three graces of the Lager
yeah.
buildings
yeah,
and the
yeah,
buildings around
yeah.
it. They're built on an infield dock.
Right. Yeah. I can imagine.
Arena
yeah,
was yeah. built on an infield dock.
Yeah,
but all
yeah.
of a sudden, this one up the coast a little bit yeah, is yeah. a big deal.
And look what Media City has done for Salford, let alone Manchester.
Yeah.
It's superb now. And I think a bit of a red herring or a blue herring, you might say. So you're still 3 years off. Is that been on schedule now since say two
yeah,
years
it's on,
ago?
Yeah.
See, that'll be season 24, 25. Okay. I hope we live long enough for you and I to
You'll
see
be
it.
There. You'll be there. You'll be there. So we need to wrap, but I think
yes.
it would be negligent for me not to, because you mentioned over, you alluded over lunch to
yes.
one of your two daughters has finished university. And we've talked about your daughters previously, mainly because one went to Oxford, the other's gone to Cambridge, and they made different choices. Have they finished
yes.
yet?
I don't think we've ever gone public with that. But
on here we have.
We've
talked about it on here.
Right. Okay.
I think it was when did they go at the same time?
Yeah, well, they're twins.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So one went to Oxford, one went to Cambridge. Yes. Have they both finished?
Now, I want to stress a couple of things here now, just in case there is anybody listening. One, neither myself or my wife Louise went to university. Right. I got a degree later in life in management studies, but yeah, I was 30 odd then at night school. So it's certainly not followed in that family way. Both the girls went to state schools.
Yeah,
they went to state
good.
Schools in one in Salford, one in Urmston. And it really is down to their drive, what they've done. I mean, we must, I suppose we're very proud, obviously, but we must take, I suppose, some of the credit for giving them a good platform as parents. But they've driven themselves to this. But yes, I'd never have believed that I'd have one daughter at each of the two very prestigious universities. They'd never had to do that in our eyes, but they've done it. And one of them has just completed, just graduated with a first at Cambridge,
wow.
Jessica. So very proud of
well
her.
Done,
she's
Jessica.
Pleased. Yeah. Beth has got an extra year. She graduates next year.
Beth.
Well, yeah, well, exactly. And she's making a list now of any of the treats that her sister's got, you know, for
so she gets
the same. But no, they touch what they do. The most important thing in this last 12 months is that they've kept healthy and healthy physically and mentally, like most of us, John. We've been battling just to keep our heads above water in many ways.
Well, I was going to say that's a very good positive to finish on, but we have to do, because I forgot, where do you think we're going to finish?
Right, should I do United and Everton, then you do United and Everton?
If you like, yeah.
Right, Everton, where will they finish? Well, so difficult. Because there's a lot of good clubs now in the Premier League, and I mean yeah. really good clubs. Leeds does stick in my throat a little bit because we've got to contend with them now again. I played very good football last season, even though it was without crowds, so I respect that. But I think Leeds will do well this season. I think Tottenham have got an ideal manager in, and I was surprised, I didn't touch on this earlier, that Everton didn't get
Nuno.
Yeah,
I think his demands were too high, apparently.
Were they? Okay.
And of course, Spurs walked away from him for a bit for the same reason, and had to go back again.
Right. Yeah. So, Benitez and his merry band of blue men will have to do really well to finish where probably Everton fans will be happy, which I'd say is between 5th and 8th. I don't want to do Everton any injustice because I'm very much in Everton's corner, very much old school in that sense.
But use your brain.
But
your
when
balance.
I look, when I look at the teams that are there, City are just going to throw more money at it. Liverpool will be better this season because they've got a crowd and a centre back. United will go strong. Chelsea will. Tottenham will. But yeah, there's Moyes with West Ham. Who knows? Still got a point to prove, Moyes. That'll drive him on. I think Everton are probably going to be eighth at best. Eighth in the league.
Okay. And your own gaff?
And Manchester United. If you said, what are you going to put your house on, Pete? I'd probably have to put City. But no, I'm going to say, I think Ollie will come good. League title winners, champions of England, Manchester United.
Okay.
And I think Everton, hopefully this year, will break in and win a cup. And if I was Benitez, I wouldn't play any bloody weakened teams in the League Cup or the FA Cup. And if you see him after this, John, then say Pete Mulley said, because that'll buy him time. You want a good day out at Wembley.
Well, we want to break that thing of the last team we beat in a final of anything was Man United.
And that was us, 95. Yeah, it's a nice thing to have because it's
just the 26 years or whatever it is. Yeah.
Funny enough, I only got the programme the other day. I never got a programme and I waited for it to come cheap on eBay and I got one for a fiver. I've got the 85 one. You'll not remember that one.
Norman.
But Norman, God bless him. So, a cup, Man United, you're not in any league, the qualifying positions. And United, hopefully, a good run in the Champions League, But it is based on faith that Ollie gets it, because you were right what you said about he came from Mould, he had a short time at Cardiff. But he does get Man United. It's not just because he was an ex-hero. Because ex-Georgie Best, Dennis Law, Bobby Charlton wouldn't have made great managers.
No.
But I think he has got something about him in terms of picking teams and knowing what Man United play. And if he does get it right, he will have built on something solid, and he will do it playing attractive football. So I hope and pray Ollie gets it, and I think he will. I'm very much in his camp, and we'll see what happens in the friendly with United and Everton.
Yeah, and I'll do with the old rose tinted, because I think you've got a bit of optimism there.
I have added it in, but with the crowds back.
With the crowds back. From a Man United perspective, it's clear. It's interesting because we talk about the other shower. With a centre half back, they'll think it'll go back 2 years ago and they'll be this dominant force again.
I think I
rather fancy starting a rumour that says Van Dijk's never going to be the player he was before. But then with the rising tide at Chelsea and City, if they're in the league, we never even talked about what their transgressions may result in.
No. Then all the protests, the ESL,
all that. You were there as well. Yeah. So I think. Top three would still be a good result for United.
I
think if with a bit of a following win, you get some momentum. We can all quote Leicester then, can't we?
Yeah.
Once you get momentum, anything can happen.
Yeah.
So, but I would put you down as third.
Third, okay.
Everton, I can't get past the fact that I'm biased, so I'll hang on to that top six thing.
Okay.
Which is European qualification through the league.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
means at the end of the season, if we qualify, having finished seventh, I'll say I was right.
We'll give you that.
But you would
have had a good season to finish sixth, not just because you finished sixth, but to have won and drawn the games you'd have had to win and draw.
Absolutely, yeah. And I think it is going to be an interesting season because we saw how huge variety in performances with no fans. Will it go back to the way it was before? Perhaps not, because they have had a long time without fans. So you're back onto players who thrive when there's a noisy crowd and the ones who are petrified and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
I think if we finish top six in the league, I think it would be a good, in fact, probably a very good season.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I'd trade that for your eighth if we won a cup,
Which
for us means the FA Cup or the League Cup. I don't give a damn if it's the League Cup.
No.
I mean, our League Cup final in Howard's days was what kick-started us, playing at the top table again, and then and then we won the FA Cup, and then we won the Cup Winners' Cup.
That's
we threw
right.
a couple of leagues in. We
and wanted a League Cup tie against Oxford.
All of the
was
above.
The game
yeah.
which started to turn it.
Yeah,
when
and
you...
so on. So
right, okay.
So yeah, eighth upwards is probably par.
Okay.
Yeah. Six
right.
upwards would be good.
Right.
And set out on a journey to win something.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So let's convene and in whenever it'll be January time.
January, yeah.
See how we're getting on.
Yeah, that'll be interesting to play this back. And also, hopefully, we're going to have to we're going to be able to get into these games because there's just that worry. But the figures are looking good at the moment. You can play this back in January; it might have changed. But also because of the vaccinations and whatnot, I think they're going to keep the grounds open. But you may have to have a passport which I didn't agree with, but I think it's almost inevitable now for nightclubs and big stadiums, you know.
Yeah. All right. Should we call pull stumps?
Yeah, good stuff. And the best of luck to your team,
except for
two of the games they play this season.
Well, yes. I mean, actually, can I have the final say?
Yeah. Yes.
One of the things that we did do well last season, which we'd had real problems with pretty much every manager, including Moyes, was back in the day when it was a big four and all that rubbish, then it's a big six, was not doing very well against those clubs. And we did very well last season against the so-called big six. So if you had a little mini league table just of the big six, we did quite well, thank you very much. So I think if we start off with let's do the right thing and that'll just drive the right outcomes. If we can maintain being able to compete with those clubs we aspire to be amongst, then I think the season will be all right.
No, that's good. Well, I hope you're right. And it will be a fascinating Merseyside derby.
Yeah.
The first one. When is it? Do you know?
I can't remember. They're always October. The absolute date.
Yes, about October.
They're always October.
But that'll be interesting because of the Benitez.
But our last game before the season starts will be against you lot. So.
Yeah, and you're going down to that.
Yeah,
and we can enjoy that for what it is. Yeah, Man United haven't friendly. I don't have many of those, have we? No. I think the Super Scream Cup counted as a friendly. Oh, did, gosh. Did you remember that in 1985?
Let's go. We're going to talk about that. Let's go. Thanks again, Pete. Yeah,
it's been a pleasure. My pleasure, John. And, thanks very much, and hope folk find something of interest in it.